The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only will I hold. Kill the inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. In blindness he wonders if his mind will ever learn. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only will I hold. Kill the inside and let it burn.
All right. Welcome to the show. In plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate button. Send the fundage. Keep free speech alive. You can mail that check or money order payable to RBN. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call that credit or debit card into Mike, and he will take your money. Also, PayPal is available. Please, everyone listening, send $5, $10. If everyone would do that, we could keep this thing going and keep RBN in the black. Because free speech is always funded by we the people. It's best when it's funded by we the people. This is our Tuesday night broadcast. You know the caliber of the man, the legend.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Standing 6'4", weighing 235.25 pounds of political science analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, from the studios of the underground secret caverns of Burbank, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
Yes, it's the Batcave. And you know what we do in Batcave? You know what's our major export?
What's that?
Guano.
What is that?
It's very fertile. It's a fertilizer. You can look it up in the dictionary.
I'm sure you didn't get corona in the Batcave, though.
No, and I didn't get monkeypox because I'm not that kind of bat. I've got a case of what I think is lemur leprosy. But it's totally straight. It's not at all gay.
We're about to have a case of World War III on our hands. Got Lala Pelosi going on over there in the Eastern Front right now. The old, speaking of bats, the old bat landed in Taiwan today.
Oh, my God.
So we'll go with this latest. The CNN one I sent you at the very last. It's probably got the most recent update. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visits Taiwan. You and Cato were covering this yesterday. Let's see. Just go through the notes of this.
On my Friday show from last week, Friday, it's solo. I'm just talking, just giving the historical background of that issue, China, mainland China and Taiwan, if anybody wants the background.
Yeah, it was good. I listened to it at work. So I wasn't sure that she would actually land there, but she did. Some of the points in this article, then I'll kick it to you. Point one, House Speaker Pelosi is in Taiwan for a high-stakes visit despite warnings from Biden. It seems like the Bidens weren't on board with this. Also, China's officials warned of a potential reaction. And China said the visit would have severe impact on China-U.S. relations, and they announced a launch of exercises and targeted military operations around Taiwan in response. First time that a House Speaker has visited since 97. Who was that, Gnarly Newt? Yeah, that was a different time. That was a different era. China is now a first world power and not to be trifled with. Didn't you say that that old Newt's visit was somewhat of a slap in the face of the Chinese government?
Well, the Chinese didn't want it, for sure. Now, Newt was an opposition politician. He was very fierce rival to Bill Clinton. And so I don't remember all the details of that trip, but it's different because, you know, he very well could have gone without the blessing of Clinton. It could have very well irked Clinton. And, of course, the Chinese, they could protest, but 25 years ago, they were really too weak to do anything about it. This time around, you know, Pelosi is from the ruling party, the same party as the Biden. And while the Biden doesn't seem to be too enthusiastic, and I don't think the Pentagon was too enthusiastic, they had a squad of fighter planes escorting her Air Force, you know, transport plane that she and these other half dozen Democratic congressmen went on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if it wasn't the Biden's idea, I don't know whose idea it was. Maybe it was Pelosi's idea. Maybe it was Blinken's idea. It, obviously, Biden doesn't have ideas anymore. And so, except maybe sniffing hair. You know, you have to look at this as an official, you know, government sanctioned visit. And you might say, okay, well, is that a big deal? Here's the big deal. The big deal is that the status quo there is the government in Taipei. Still, this is kind of a historical relic, but they still claim to be the government of a unified China. I'm talking about the government in Taipei. The government run by the cat lady Tsai Ing-wen, and she might not like it, but the fact of the matter is, the government that she runs claims to be the government of not just Taiwan, but the government of mainland China as well. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't really have any aspirations to do that. I'm sure she would rather be independent, but there's never been a declaration of independence. And of course, the declaration of independence would mean war. I mean, we had war when we had a declaration of independence. It's not that hard to imagine. And so here's the thing. Let me try to sum it up. Having our high government officials visit there over the protest of China, which is still internationally recognized as being sovereign over Taiwan. I mean, they are. How far is that from an American declaration that it would favor American statement saying that they would favor a declaration of independence by Taiwan? And if America favors a declaration of independence by Taiwan, then how far is that from an actual declaration of independence by Taiwan? And of course, an independent Taiwan then could just freely host American, you know, military, and you know, the Japanese used Taiwan to invade mainland China. It's right there. It's an unsinkable aircraft carrier. So, yeah. You know, at what point does China put its foot down? And I think it's better for everybody to put its foot down before everything goes to war. And you know, right now they haven't launched a war yet. They still have all these other options. You know, on the one hand, they're doing some you know, live exercises with live ammunitions right up close to Taiwan. And then also they can launch economic sanctions against us. because we're completely dependent on them. What if they, what if, you know, our entire pharmaceutical industry is dependent on inputs from China? What if they just stop sending us the inputs to make antibiotics, for instance?
Yeah, that's, so that leads up to a lot of questions I wanted to get into, to sort of bring the working class average person on board to make sure that they understand and they're not lost in a wash of mainstream media. So as you get in from work and you crack open, you pull that cold beer out of the cooler and you crack that open, and you're listening to this commentary, let's sort of bring this down to an elementary level. So the government of Taiwan is favorable to Pelosi, because I did read, now this is what the CNN article would lead us to believe, that the press and the government itself of Taiwan was welcoming her. But yet the people of Taiwan are not really on board with this.
The people are divided. So, you know, who knows what to make of public opinion polls. There is a big hunk of the people in Taiwan, and these would be ethnic Chinese people, but mostly ethnic Chinese people whose ancestors came to Taiwan before 1900. And they're ethnic Chinese, and a big hunk of them would just as soon be independent. But there's another big hunk, which includes, you know, the same group of ethnic Chinese who came before 1900, but also it includes would include the bulk of the Chinese who evacuated the mainland in 1949 when the communists won the civil war and the nationalists lost the civil war and evacuated and moved their government to Taipei. Those people, they oppose independence. So it's probably pretty evenly split between people who would prefer independence and people who oppose independence. Because okay. The thing is, right now, the status quo over the past few decades has been just fine. The Taiwanese have gotten to be extremely rich by investing in mainland. There's been massive investment, massive commercial relations across the straits between Taiwan and the mainland. They've had great economic relations, and it's served both sides very, very well. And why rock that boat?
Well, the boat's been rocked. I mean, isn't this, you know, the 2019 CIA gay ops protest in Taiwan? Wasn't that an attempt by our government to sort of divide the public and go to a pro, you know, secede from China movement?
Well, 2019, I don't know how much was of the protests, how much they were going on in Taiwan. They were certainly going on a lot in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
wasn't that whole thing though about Taiwanese independence from Japan?
There was a Taiwanese aspect to those protests in Hong Kong in 2019. It's a weird story, and I don't know if I could do it justice. But basically, there was a guy from Hong Kong who had taken his girlfriend to Taiwan and murdered her and then came back to Hong Kong and bragged about it. And or did he even come back to, I can't even remember, but the Chinese tried to change the basic law in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong is a special administrative unit inside of China. And they tried to change the basic law to give them authority to charge this guy with murder. And there were demonstrations in Hong Kong, and the Chinese backed off. But even after the Chinese backed off from changing this law, the demonstrations continued and escalated.
I see.
And definitely a lot of CIA and State Department involvement.
So let me paint another scenario to make sure that we understand this, including me. So let's say that Texas unofficially said that they, you know, there's a faction of Texas in the government and in the populace that wanted to be independent from the United States federal government. And let's just say then that one of Xi Jinping's high-ranking members flew to Texas and met with this sect of government that was favorable of seceding from the U.S. government. Would that be a good illustration as to what we're seeing here?
To an extent, it's a little bit hard for Americans to understand because we've never had a civil war, right? What we call the Civil War wasn't a civil war. It was a war of independence. You had the Confederate States. They didn't want to be part of the United States anymore. That's not a civil war. Is when you have two competing sides that are trying to take control of the same country. And we haven't had that. But that's what was going on in China in the first half of the 20th century. You had a civil war, mainly between this nationalist party led by Chiang Kai-shek and the Communist Party led by Mao Zedong. They both wanted to be the government of all of China. And Mao won, but it wasn't a complete victory. Chiang Kai-shek fled to Taiwan and continued to claim to be the government of all of China, even though he only controlled that one province of Taiwan. And so that's the situation. That's what a real civil war is. We haven't had a civil war, but a real civil war is when you got two groups that are vying for control of the same country.
The South just wanted independent trade with Europe and their own currency, right? They weren't trying to take over Washington.
Yeah, the South wanted independence. The Taiwanese, their separation from China wasn't because they wanted independence. Their separation was because Chiang Kai-shek, who had been the recognized president of all of China, even though he, was always never controlled that much, he evacuated to Taiwan. He continued to say he was the president of all of China. His government had the UN seat for China. They had the seat on the Security Council for 22 years or 25 years. And, it wasn't until the 1970s that Western countries stopped recognizing Chiang Kai-shek's government in Taiwan as being the government of all of China and started recognizing the communist government in Beijing. Jimmy Carter was the person who switched to recognition. So that was, 1978, 79, something like that.
Okay, so Pelosi visiting Taiwan. I mean, of course, we know, everyone knows, the Chinese knows that the U.S. is in support of this, separate entity, Taiwan from China. And so that's just a slap in the face. Basically, what she should have done was visited Xi and his government and, then maybe gotten permission to visit Taiwan. But instead, she goes straight to Taiwan, just basically saying, we don't even acknowledge China as being sovereign over Taiwan. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. So, honestly, somebody like Donald Trump, if this was something he wanted to do, he never expressed any interest in doing it, but if he wanted to try to encourage a peaceful reconciliation between Taiwan and the mainland, that's the type of thing he might have done. He might have gone to Beijing and then stated that he was going to go to Taiwan. But it's not. I mean, the Chinese would probably still balk at that because it's like, well, this is an internal affair. You shouldn't be involving yourself in internal affairs. But it would be it'd still be different. It would be different if he was trying to create peaceful reconciliation. But Pelosi's trying to do just the opposite.
Right. Back on the other side of the break.
Summer's gone, winter's in your eyes. I can feel the thunderstorms inside.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me, if you can see the light shine.
Okay, back to the show. Dynamic duo hammering out this whole Pelosi trip to Taiwan. We were getting into this in the break. I want to try to reconstruct the conversation. You know, the U.S. dealt with Taiwan a lot in the 80s. You see a lot of stuff made in Taiwan. They sort of wanted Taiwan to be their sweatshop, you know, to make things that the America didn't want to pay their workers to make. They didn't want to pay good wages. And so they would have stuff made cheaply and import it into the U.S. So how has that relationship evolved, and how does it apply to the current situation?
So, you know, companies like General Electric, I remember GE in particular, everything, like all their VCRs were made in Taiwan. I think all their TVs were made in Taiwan. So a lot of companies in America were offshoring to Taiwan. It was still relatively cheap. And then, of course, Taiwan over the, like during the 90s, started offshoring all of their industry to mainland China. And, you know, you had had hostile relations between the mainland and Taiwan. But after Mao died, you had a thawing of relations. And they, even though they were technically rival governments and both claiming to be the one legitimate government of all of China, including Taiwan, they had very good economic relationship. There was a lot of investment. When I went to Taiwan, you could not fly directly from Taiwan to the mainland. And if you were Taiwanese, you couldn't even fly directly to Hong Kong. But that all got lifted. They started allowing, you know, Taiwanese and Chinese, you know, the citizens to fly right across. And so it got to be very, you know, very profitable relations. for both countries.
So Taiwan.
Or both.
Taiwan is no longer a sweatshop for America. It's become very affluent in the last three decades.
Yeah.
What does that do to their economy?
It's due to them having invested heavily in China when China was a sweatshop. You know, they bought low, and now, like, all those businesses that they had helped build in China are thriving. And so the Taiwanese became very, very rich based on the booming Chinese economy, as did Hong Kong. They became very, very rich based on the Chinese economy. So what I was seeing is, because I was an economic reporter and analyst in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was covering this, and you had Hong Kong provided the trading routes, Taiwan provided the capital, and mainland China provided the labor, and it was just this massive boom. They had everything they needed. They didn't even need they needed American markets, and they were using American markets, but then it went global. Unlike, for instance, Japan or South Korea or Taiwan itself, when they were developing, they were based just on exports to the United States. But when China developed, because I never thought they could follow that model, because the United States couldn't, how much Chinese imports could they possibly accept? Well, A, they could accept more than I thought, but B, China was exporting to the entire world, to Europe, to Japan, to the entire world.
So just to get a feel for the gravity of the situation, I mean, we make fun of Pelosi, she's an old hag, an old bat and all that, but she's a very powerful person. I mean, she shares equal power pretty much with the executive branch and the judicial branch, right? And so this is a major thing. And China has now, as we mentioned, become a world superpower that would rival the U.S. and Russia. And so she's playing with fire. On behalf of the United States, she's playing with fire. What happens when you play games with fire?
Hey, what happens when you play dangerous games?
You win dangerous prizes, and you could also get burnt, when you play with fire. And we see that's going to be coming up in the next article we'll cover on this military exercise that China's doing around Taiwan. They're not joking around. We also are taking calls. If you guys want to call and weigh in, we are taking your calls live on your Tuesday Night Drive, 512-248-8252. If you want to get in on the convo with the dynamic duo. So, about these military exercises, I know Rivero reported on it today from Yahoo News. 21 Chinese warplanes, including more than a dozen fighter aircraft, flew through Taiwan's air defense zone on the day of Pelosi's visit. Sending a little bit of a message there, maybe a little tap on the cheek, as it were. Are they tapping the cheek, or have they thrown the gauntlet down?
They're tapping the cheek.
Okay.
So, at this point, it really doesn't look like there's going to be an invasion. And the thing is, the invasion, I mean, the last thing that came right down
was... Hang on, Pat. Mm-hmm. We'll pick you up on the other side with more news and analytical, political analyzing. And in plain sight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Okay, back to the show, the Dynamic Duo. We're just talking about the military exercises that China's doing around Taiwan. Little tab on the cheek. You were interrupted by the break, Patrick. You remember where you were at?
I was saying that the last thing that the government of China wants to do, that Xi Jinping want to do, is destroy that magnificent industrial infrastructure in Taiwan. That's what makes Taiwan so valuable. I mean, it's a beautiful island, but it's extremely valuable because they've got the semiconductor manufacturing. They've got a great deal of industry there, and you know they've also got a big population. So, it would be difficult to take it over militarily through an invasion, and B, it would be highly destructive. So that's not what. That's certainly not what they want. But they can put pressure on America in other ways, like I said, by just banning the export of something very important to the United States, like inputs for the pharmaceutical industry.
And, yeah, penicillin.
Yeah, penicillin. They can do this.
And we found this out in COVID, right?
Right, and the United States has broken every precedent in terms of its sanctions against Russia, you know, seizing central bank assets and whatnot. China holds more U.S. Treasury bonds than any other foreign entity. They could dump Treasury bonds. There's all sorts of things. I mean, China's got massive leverage against the United States. And well, yeah. There's a bunch of things they could do.
she and the Chinese, the CCP have been, you know, stern but reserved. I can sense they're being reserved, because I thought it was going to go a lot worse today. I didn't even think she was going to land, just quite honestly. I thought she was just, you know, talking a big game, but they've been reserved. And so what you're telling me, it seems like they're being reserved, not necessarily because they fear the United States, but because they don't want to mess up a good thing in Taiwan.
They don't. They don't want to mess up a good thing in Taiwan. And, you know, it doesn't mean that there's no scenarios in which there wouldn't be an invasion, but that is not plan A and it's not plan B.
I mean, it would be something. It would actually be legit if they had to invade Taiwan and they arrested Pelosi and threw her in the gulag.
If they had intercepted her plane and done a Lukashenko intercepting her plane and making it land in Fujian province and taking her out and arresting her, like Lukashenko did to that, you know, political dissident, that would have been awesome.
I would have videotaped that and watched it like all day. And drank martinis to it. I mean, that would have just been a fun time.
How great would that be? Yeah. And, you know, the title for my show with, who was it? Was it with Cato? I guess we were trying, because Andrew Anglin said it would be the funniest thing ever. and I was trying, the title of my show is, well, would it be as funny as Father Ted, you know, the Father Ted episode Speed 3, if you're familiar with Father Ted? Because that was really funny, that episode.
I'm familiar with Father Ted. Yeah, I'm familiar with Father Ted. I don't think the audience maybe, but yeah, we can get into that later. We joke, but it is a serious situation. Just one last thing before we go to our callers. I mean, it just seems like the U.S. is really desperate here. Even like Pelosi just apparently acting autonomously, supposedly without the approval of the Bidens, and. That, you know, they looked, you know, the U.S. has been humiliated in Afghanistan. They've been humiliated with the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Nothing that they've done has worked, and now they're just grasping at straws in this last-ditch attempt to try to be relevant on the world stage. That's what it looks like to me. But what do I know?
I have to say that I approve of the humiliation of the United States in, you know, Afghanistan. With Taiwan, with this thing, you know, there's danger. There's real danger involved. So I won't say I approve of what Nancy Pelosi's doing. But if the United States is humiliated and nobody dies, then that's a good thing.
And just for everybody, you know, for context, I think our regular listeners know this, but for context, we don't want the humiliation of the American people. The people are good. This government is corrupt. They support child trannies and, you know, global homo, gay sex marriage and killing babies. I mean, that's what they support. And that's the government that we want to be humiliated so that we can redo it.
Because they're humiliating us. Yes. I mean, aren't you humiliated all the time, like on a daily basis? All
just
the stuff
about
that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. The 500 plus political prisoners in the DC gulag, that's humiliating for them and their families.
Yeah. So these people need to be humiliated. They need to lose legitimacy in the eyes of the American people. And, you know, to the extent that the Taliban or the Chai Coms or the Ruskies or anybody else, that they humiliate these people and help them lose legitimacy in the eyes of the American people. Hey, the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Always said that. Hey, let's go to the call, shall we?
Yep.
Got Joe in Florida, I believe. Joe.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Patrick. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I want to say thank you, Dr. Slattery, for last Friday's show. Well, you did that really sort of deep dive on Taiwan and China. That was really a great show, I have to say.
Thank you.
I hope you can do more shows like that. I wanted to ask you, do you think it's possible that Pelosi is really just doing this for Biden? I mean, these people are so craven and so sick. They're so desperate for a war, maybe because they see the midterms coming up and even the presidential election after that. they're desperate for a war. It's not working out in Ukraine for them to get a war that, you know, everybody can be behind. And they're trying to do things in Kosovo. But it seems like I wouldn't put it past Pelosi to try and literally start a conflict just so that they might benefit from, you know, from a domestic maybe support when we go, if we go to war.
Well, that's, I mean, that's possible. With the Ukraine thing, it's got Victoria Nuland's fingerprints so all over it. So that was really easy to analyze. Here you've got, I mean, you've got lots of people who would have an incentive or a motive to provoke China. And, you know, what you're talking about, first of all, I mean, Pelosi and the Biden, and I use it singular, not plural, the Biden, Pelosi and the Biden, or, you know, others in the administration working together, that that is not just plausible, it's likely. Is, you know, is the motive, well, there is a motive, like one motive is to try to stop the rise of China before, you know, while it's still stoppable, although I don't think it is stoppable anymore. You know, there's the I think that a lot of powerful Jews or a lot of Jewish power views China in particular, Orientals in general, but China in particular, as the next enemy once the whites are finally vanquished. I, you know, I think that's an aspect of it. There, you know, the there are people in the, like Tucker Carlson, a lot of people in the Republican Party just have this thing against the Chinese. So there's a lot of, there are a lot of places where animosity towards the CCP, towards the Communist China, comes from. And, you know, you also have in the United States, you've got a lot of hostility to mainland China from like the Falun Gong cult, from some people in the United States. There's a lot of hostility to China in Japan, unfortunately. And I think even in South Korea, I'm not quite as aware of it, but I think it's there, but certainly in Japan, there's a lot of hostility. And it's a shame, but what you are seeing is you're seeing a very tight alliance emerging between Russia and China in particular, and a Russia-Chinese right. alliance. If it's a firm alliance, that really more than balances the United States.
Yeah.
To your point, you know, Joe. I'm just going to say to your point, Joe, that this could be political grandstanding. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, neocon, you know, Republican voters that hate the Chinese, and maybe this is Pelosi's way of trying to, you know, bring them on board to get the Democrats popular for the upcoming midterms in 2024. I mean, that's
possibly.
Yeah.
And the other way, absolutely. The other thing, I don't know if you agree, Patrick. So it's like, you know, Western culture, it's been sort of, we've had this Jewish worldview imposed on us, right? So the Jews are always trying to bring revolution wherever they go. So your analysis, we talk about Taiwan and China and the relationship between the Republic of China and the People's Republic. It occurred to me that, you know, from the West here, we're looking at it from this very Jewish idea, which is like, oh, there are two competing governments, so this must be revolution. But it seems to me the Taiwanese government, really, they're not all that interested in fomenting or trying to take over the mainland. They actually have a history, especially over the last 30 years, 20 years, where they're benefiting economically. And as far as they're concerned, you know, they're not interested in revolution. But we see this mainstream media in the American and European sort of Jewish-controlled countries saying, oh, well, it must be they're looking for a revolution. They don't seem that interested in revolution to me. Am I wrong?
If by revolution you mean Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, like taking on the mainland, you know? They don't want to take on the mainland.
Okay. If you mean like, yeah, taking over the mainland. I mean, once the Chiang Kai-shek and his colleagues that evacuated Nanjing for Taiwan in 1949, once that generation passed from the scene, I don't think you really had significant support in Taiwan anymore for reconquest. And when I went in 1982, I've described this before. The newsreels you would see before movies, or the, a little clip you'd see before the TV would come on in the morning or the evening.
Right.
It was all this imagery of the nationalist army taking over the mainland again, reconquering the mainland. When I went in 87, right, 5 years later, I wasn't seeing that anymore. So there was a shift.
Yeah.
And I think the Nationalist Party went from, as an institution, it went from wanting to reconquer China to an eventual, sometime in the future, reunification with China, but on terms that the nationalists would find acceptable.
Right. And I think it's a Jewish thing to impose this idea that, oh, they're really going to start a war, they're going to have a revolution. I think the Chinese, the Taiwan Chinese, and the Chinese are really beyond that. Can I say one really quick thing? The last thing is that we keep looking for all these hot spots where World War III can start, and I think there's a lot of them, Ukraine and obviously China. But maybe people are beginning to go under the radar. I think it's a grave danger between Russia and Japan. Russia and Japan have not signed a treaty. They're still technically at war from World War II, I think. And then also, recently I saw on RT that Russia started showing this documentary about the war crimes committed by Japanese in these sort of experimentations. I think there's hostility there, and that could be the real danger spot that surprises everyone, because God knows if Japan has sort of under attack or threatened the United States, maybe there's a question about whether we'd actually support Taiwan. There's no doubt that we would go, and we'd have to be in a war with Russia if something happened to Japan. I don't know what you think about that.
I mean, I would like to downplay everything you said. But the thing is, 1905, you had the Russo-Japanese War, and Japan beat Russia. In the wake of World War I, you had Japan occupy eastern Siberia. Everything up to Lake Baikal was occupied by Japan for a couple of years. And then, of course, at the very end of World War II, the day after the atomic bomb, the Soviet Union declared war on Japan and took back territory that it had lost in 1905.
Right.
And during the Cold War, the Japanese governments, they I don't think they should have, but they were very they invited in America, or they allowed the American bases to remain in Japan after the occupation, supposedly to protect them from the Soviet Union. But the thing is, the American bases were all in the very southern part of Japan, almost all in the southern part of Japan, whereas the Russia and Japan are separated by very, very narrow water straits in the north. So, I mean, the American troops were as far away from the Russians as it could possibly be and still be in Japan. I mean, the relations aren't great, but it's not as much of a hot spot as the other three areas you mentioned, but it could certainly deteriorate.
That's true, and I'm not rooting for any of it. By that, it's a good reason we should start praying a little bit more for peace. But great show tonight, and a great show the other night too, Dr. Slattery. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Got a couple more callers. Mike said we can go through the break. Kathleen from Texas, then James after Kathleen. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy and Patrick. I would love to hear a roundtable with both of you. And is the man's name Beto, Patrick?
Cato. Cato, like Cato on the Green Hornet, like Bruce Lee's
Cato.
Character on the...
Oh, Cato. Yeah. Okay. Well, I love him. He's great. But I would love a roundtable with the three of you. Joe, I really love it when you do those deep dive rants, Patrick, like Friday.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate that very much. And then, okay. And then, Jeremy, your sound since I think it was Friday, last Friday, has, I mean, I just can't believe how fabulous you sound. Whatever you've done, I would like to find out what the name of that headpiece is or whatever, because there are so many people on RBN that sound very muffled. And I think you sound very passable, but Jeremy, your sound has gone. I mean, it's just tremendous. So maybe I could find out from what would I find out from Mike what kind of head thing is you have.
Yeah, it's the $10 earbuds from Walmart. I threw away the package, but I just tried them out, and they seem to be working well.
And is that what about the microphone?
It's my Samsung $100 phone.
Okay, and, because
the earbuds
just
make all the difference.
Okay, well, you just sound tremendous. Okay, I mentioned that, and... okay, well, I think that there was something else that I wanted to say. Patrick, my mother had every book on China. I still have a book that she had, The Gang of Four. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the book. I remember the gang.
Yeah, the gang. And so with the pictures and everything, and... and I agree with your analysis that you and Jeremy that they're doing just fine. Thank you very much. They don't need to be provoked into some kind of a conflict where the military-industrial complex of the United States can benefit. So anyway, all right. Well, thank you very much for the show. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kathleen. Appreciate it all. Okay. Hit me up on Patrick and Jeremy at Yahoo, patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com. That's our email. You can find it on my bio on RBN post, and I'll send you the earpod name.
Well, I have a landline, no internet, no TV, so I'm dependent on a phone call or finding out from Mike.
All right. I'll try
okay,
to get it to you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Kathleen. And then James in Vancouver. James, welcome to the show.
Well, you got to give Pelosi credit because what's that other guy, Lindsey Graham, and the other guys were afraid to go. So, you know, at least Pelosi's earning herself. I can't hear you. What?
I said maybe they're not senile enough.
Well, that could be true, too. But they do have vodka in Taiwan. That should calm her nerves down. But the big general of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said that he would guarantee her security going into Taipei. By the way, she landed at Songshan Airport, which is the airport in Taipei. She didn't land at the... International Airport in Taoyuan, so that might say something. Songshan Airport was where they launched the spy planes years ago. But I think what the deal here is that the United States is checking to see if Xi Jinping has the support of his government. Okay, so if Xi Jinping loses face, they want to see how his standing committee and all the boys in the Renmin Dahuitang react to the situation and whether or not maybe they want to take this job from him. See, you can look at that angle.
So that's the People's Congress, Renmin
Dahuitang? That's on Tiananmen. Tiananmen.
Now, did you used to live in China? James, did you live in China?
I lived in China for 2.5 years, and I lived in Taiwan for 28. By the way, in 1987, they were still singing Sanmin Juyi in the theaters because Jiang Jingguo hadn't died yet. He died in 1988.
So when did those portrayals when did that end? The portrayals of the nationalists reconquering mainland.
I think it officially ended when Li Denghui took over Taiwan. There was a bit of a kerfuffle over the deal, and so that's when they got rid of the movies before the national anthem before the movies. But
It was during the national anthem that they would show those scenes. And he died in 1988 or about Chang Jingguo. Chang Jingguo, who was Chiang Kai-shek.
I was there January 13th, 1988. And if you read an obituary about how he died, I believe he was poisoned.
You think so?
Yep.
He was only in his early to mid 70s, right? He wasn't that old.
Yeah, and a guy like that, being as rich as he was and having all the medical care that he had, I believe that one day he just simply dropped his guard and he was poisoned by people he thought he could trust. That's how that goes, you see. So, so Xi Jinping has got the same thing because you've got pressure when you're the big boss in those countries. So, anyway, go ahead.
Well, we just have a minute left. You lived there for 28 years, and I assume you still have contacts. What is your assessment on the proportion of the population that would rather be independent as opposed to those who oppose a declaration of independence?
Okay, here's the short answer. You got to remember that Taiwan was run by the Japanese from 1895 to 1945, okay? And under the Japanese... The Chinese people there were able to enjoy the kind of life that they never even had in the mainland. That is, they had security. Mm-hmm. The Japanese set up the law. As long as people obeyed the law, everything was cool. And the Japanese allowed the Chinese and the Taiwanese to own their own land, which could be held by their families in perpetuity, you see, which you can't even have in China today. So, of course, you know, the Chinese mindset in terms of, hey, you know, we want to keep this in the family for hundreds of years, right? This is a big deal for Taiwan people. So having said that, then you got to realize the Taiwan people would feel jeopardized if China were to take over Taiwan because they would lose those infrastructure good things that they got from the Japanese. And
the way that the Chinese take over Taiwan is by Taiwan declaring independence. Isn't that an irony? But
as long as Taiwan doesn't say that directly, there's a lot of cat. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could interview me sometime and, I could give you a...
I would like to do that. Thank you.
Okay, y'all stay classy.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.